Hello and welcome. I'm Mark Gagan from The Voice of Insurance. I'm a former insurance broker and now a journalist who writes and podcasts about global insurance. Recently, I caught up with the new CEO of Pro Global Holdings, Steve Lewis, for an interview. Steve joined Pro in January and we spoke in detail about his view of the market and his vision for how Pro will serve that market in the future. So now I've made the introductions, let's get on with the interview. So Steve, tell us about your insurance career to date.
Where do I start? So I'm an accountant by background. I've been in the insurance industry kind of over 30 years now. I started with Eagle Star, you'll know them well, don't exist anymore. And I've enjoyed a pretty varied career. I've worked in the UK, obviously, but I spent 9 years internationally. I was 3 years in Australia working across Asia Pacific. I spent 6 years working and living in Switzerland. And whilst finance, you know, has been a foundational part of my career, I've had opportunities to be part of turnaround businesses. I've established new insurance ventures. I've done M&A and I've done a myriad of what I call, you know, strategic and operational projects over the years. In the latter stages of my career, I led operational transformation and performance management globally for Zurich. And towards the end of 2009, I came back to the UK and I was CEO of Zurich's P&C business. And latterly, I led RSA's UK and international division before taking the helm of Pro Global in February. Not most opportune timing, but nevertheless, I took it on in February. I'd say, look, jack of all trades, still aspiring for mastery. So look, bit of a potted bio of myself, but covers the bases.
You've had such a varied experience. So what sort of lessons from that long and distinguished and global international career will you be bringing to the role at Pro?
Like all of us, I've had quite a few lessons over the years and we all learn a lot from the scars on our back. I'd actually say that I certainly operate in an industry that has been much maligned, but an industry nonetheless that I think affords fantastic careers for individuals and certainly has done for myself. Having said that, if I was to pull out just one key learning, I think it would be the application of focus. And I think that is one of the key winning ingredients of success. It's the old adage, don't try and be all things to all people. If you do, diffuse focus, in my view, leads to underachievement and underperformance. And if I could give you just an example to bring that to life, I'd use from a winning perspective of focus, I'd use Admiral in the UK. If you look at the UK personal motor market, I think the market over the last 25 years has barely made a pound in aggregate in 25 years. And yet Admiral has delivered superior financial performance. Why? I think it's just one of focus. A management team that all they did was get out of bed and the only thing they focused on was motor. Whether that was client, product, whether it was distribution, whether it was trends in market, whether it was fraud, whether it's technology, continuously improving their operating model and staying ahead of the game. Where you contrast that with players that do motor alongside multiple other lines of personal, commercial, large corporate, diffuse focus, multiple trade-offs, just doesn't give you the same capability and winning set of ingredients. So for me, that's not the only ingredient success, but I do think for me, focus is a critical enabler for a business.
So without going into really detailed strategy, can you give us a broad overview of what general direction you might want to take Pro in the medium and then perhaps the long term?
Still somewhat early days, but I think we're starting to get a general direction of travel. But let me just give you a bit of a sense characterization like of Pro. And Pro as a business, its origins are very much rooted in what I call complex claims runoff and commutation. But over the years, we've broadened into a suite of offerings across much of the insurance value chain. And that's been underpinned by a set of what I would call tailored technology enablers, if I can frame it in that way. Whilst, you know, we have some, and there's no question, we have some great people. And we've got some deep, what I call SME expertise. And we've also got some deep market relationships. But I do think we've got an opportunity to focus, and if you like, strengthen our go-to-market offering across Pro. And as a first step, And look, this isn't rocket science. We have just reorganized ourselves around what I call four primary product service verticals in terms of how we go to market. The first of those is claims, if you like, it's our heritage. The second is insurance services, those third-party services that I was talking to. We also have the capability for MGA incubation. And not to forget, finally, that's all supported by a suite of what I call audit and advisory services. Now, if I sort of stand back from our industry, I think as an industry, we still got a need to get far more cost effective than we are today. And at the same time, there's the dual challenge that we need to build greater capability for, if you like, the deployment of skill for improved what I would call underwriting and claims, the core aspect of what insurance is all about. And I think those are areas that Pro can assist clients with by really bringing a range of services that allow our clients to focus on what they're good at and by which together we can achieve outperformance. So look, as we stand today, Pro is very much looking to deepen and industrialize what I call its practitioner-led SME capabilities and competencies across those four product service verticals. And in doing so, look, ultimately it's about enhancing our relevance for our clients, and it's about supporting our clients to achieve enhanced focus and through that achieving outperformance. So that's the sort of broad, if you like, direction of travel.
Pro is really well diversified across the insurance value chain, and also you're diversified by geography as well. So where are you currently seeing the best opportunities to grow?
I think we've got a range of opportunities for growth, actually. And let me start, as I've framed it, our heritage, which is claims. And I think we've got a number of avenues where we see real opportunity actually to grow. I mean, the first I'd pick out is the area of what I call personal injury, ELPL, very much runoff, but also live market opportunities in the UK and also particularly in Germany. It's an area where we've already got scale. We've had some additional recent wins, and we believe we've got an opportunity to deepen our expertise in that area, and there is opportunity for growth. I think the other area, which won't be a surprise to you, is that we clearly have a focus on the runoff market. You only have to look at the sort of decile 10 underwriting plan for Lloyd's, the number of syndicates closed, and there is clearly runoff opportunity and opportunities for us to partner with runoff aggregators in that space. But we also provide a range of live claims services in claims to the Lloyd's market. I think that's another area that we see an opportunity to build greater competence, opportunity for growth. And then I think flip to the other side of the pond in the US. And the area that we've been focused on over the last 2 to 3 years is readying ourselves for the potential opening of what is a nascent IBT, insurance business transfer market, which in our language in the UK, we'd call part 7, deals of finality. The market is moving. COVID itself may be just another impetus to the market where carriers see the opportunity that deals of finality may allow them to unlock capital to be applied to areas of their going concern business. And so I think IBT is another area we see genuinely as a real opportunity. And clearly, the US market opens up. That's a big growth play from a claims perspective. And it'd be remiss of me to walk past Latin America. We provide live claims services around motor liability, workers' compensation, and their opportunities across a number of the major territories in LATAM for growth. So look, that's claims. I think it gives you a bit of the flavour. If we flick across to, say, insurance services, we touched on that earlier, we provide a pretty broad range of services from premium adjustment right through billing, cash collection, all the way out through to some of the technical areas of reinsurance accounting. And these are areas where clients are very much prepared to outsource, but they often involve what I call a level of complexity where they prefer to have them still nearshore, onshore, rather than fully outsourced offshore. And part of that is just due to the inherent complexity involved with some of those processes. But what we're really focused on is providing what I call lean, efficient processes that deliver cost advantage in that area, but very much with a focus of delivering effective solutions, where we can bring a level of capability through skill that allows us to actually often fix problems that deliver real value for our client. I think the other area we're seeing growth in that space is just a number of the larger players have outsourced fully to India, and some of what they've outsourced in the slightly more complex areas has just not delivered as they'd hoped for, and they're looking to bring it back near shore. And again, I would consider Pro to be a very good home for that business. And then I suppose I'd touch on two final areas that we're generally seeing growth. MGA incubation, there's quite a lot of talk about that in the market at the moment, and more from the point of view that we're seeing capacity contraction naturally with some of the challenges of the market. And as a consequence, we use the terminology of insurance as a flight to quality, and I think that's true also in MGAs. And so there is some contraction from risk capital. But what we're actually still seeing is that for the right MGAs, where there's real, what I call niche-focused MGAs, where they provide access to alternative forms of distribution, or technology-enabled MGAs that improve pricing discipline and insight, there's a real growing opportunity there in alignment with risk capital. And one of the things that we're also doing is building out from a current UK capability to build a multi-territory platform across US and Europe. And that's also attracting interest. And then finally, it'd be remiss of me not to again just touch on our credentials in audit and advisory services. As you're probably aware, Mark, we are accredited by Lloyds for cover holder work, but we're a practitioner-led practice, right? And it builds on those core competencies of claims and insurance services. And what we're seeing is the opportunity to further extend our advisory services in areas of third-party claims review, due diligence, cyber, and that is an opportunity also on a multi-territory basis. So hopefully that gives you a bit of a run around both territories and growth dimensions and a bit of a flavour.
Steve, we're in a harder market. You mentioned that in the context of MGAs. How much of your growth is coming from harder market-related opportunities?
Why is the market hardened? Well, it's hardened in part because there's a contraction of capacity. And why is there a contraction of capacity? Well, in many respects, the industry's come off the last 3 or 4 years of some pretty challenging losses. COVID just adds to that. And I think it's the cumulative impact that's leading to capacity contraction. And probably the first time we've seen somewhat of a hardening market in 15 years, in any true sense. So the question is, will it continue? But certainly where we find today, it is hardening. I suppose from our perspective and for Pro, it's more the consequences of why that market is hardening. And it's back to what I said before, capacity is tightening, people are withdrawing from certain lines, books are being closed, and there's clearly a potential for runoff books to come to market, for which Pro is a very good home. So in that part of our business, clearly, we're positively aligned to what is actually a negative outcome. On the broader market, I think the other piece that we actually see in the market is a focus on underwriting discipline and the need for underwriting profit. And one dimension of underwriting profitability is, again, the need to reduce expenses and become more efficient. And again, the different range of services that Pro offer allow our partners to lean their operations as part of enabling them to actually improve their underwriting performance. So those would be the two primary levers that I would talk to.
You talk about focus, and I suppose what you do is you focus on things that you're really good at, services that you then provide to the insurance market, so that the insurance market itself can focus on what it is best at. What do you think the absolute true core competencies of insurers and reinsurers and brokers, and what are the parts that benefit best from being outsourced to a focused expert like yourselves?
I don't think there is one size that fits all to that question, to be perfectly honest. And I think it's up to every insurer, reinsurer, broker, MGA to assess what they consider core to themselves. And where ultimately they believe they can build what I would call differentiating capability, and what I like to term as the application of skill. And it goes really back to where we started the conversation on focus and not being diffuse, but focus on things you think you can genuinely be good at. I think it's also true that the view of what is differentiating capability continues to evolve. And I think that evolves for all market participants. And I think it has evolved even more so over the last probably decade as you've seen the rise of technology and the insurtech. And it's allowed different participants in the market to become much more granular in the way they componentize the value chain and determine which elements of it they believe they can add the greatest value to, and ultimately where will they get greater value with partnering capabilities where others can bring more to the party. And I think that becomes the skill, blending that partnering of capability for enhanced performance. And so with the ever-increasing use of technology, partnering the right capability along the value chain, I think, is actually one of the skills of businesses today. And Pro ultimately is focused on providing a combination of services. A number of those are focused on how to lean your operations, but a number of them about enabling capability. And it's that combination that allows us to partner to allow our clients to focus. And I would also say Pro's focus is the provision of technical capability. It's not just vanilla wage arbitrage services. So yes, we want to deploy them efficiently. It's got to be a hygiene element of the game, but we're also very much focused on effective outcomes. So whether that's solving complex problems, let's say of unallocated cash, yes, it's got to be efficiently done, but we've demonstrated on multiple occasions to be able to fix unallocated cash issues that in-house or through other partners, clients have failed to do so. And you get that right, that isn't just an efficiency play, that avoids balance sheet write-offs, but ultimately is value-adding to our clients. Driving improved settlement outcomes on complex claims. So again, we're not trying to be all things to all people, but we're trying to focus a set of core claims competence where we believe we can bring a level of scale that delivers better outcomes than otherwise can be achieved by our clients. And then I suppose taking both of those themes, we're also about developing what I call practitioner-led technology enablers to ultimately make that an even more value-adding capability for our clients and partners. So finishing where I started, there is no one size that fits all to that question, in my view. I do think Pro can provide what I would call partnered solutions, for want of a better term, that ultimately allows our clients to focus on what they should be good at. We can bring what we're good at, and the partnership together should ultimately deliver enhanced performance.
You mentioned COVID-19 a little earlier. How has COVID-19 affected your strategic thinking?
Well, we're never really going to get away without talking about COVID-19, were we? I'm not sure it changes my long-term view of either the industry or Pro generically. But without question, you have to say COVID-19 is an accelerant for change. And what I mean by that is the accelerant for change in terms of digital adoption, expense reduction, but it will also stimulate a further focus, as we've been discussing already, on underwriting quality. But I think we'll also see insurers withdrawing from lines of business, capacity tightening, and we'll see a number of claims books going into runoff as people continue to refocus where they believe they can generate the greatest value and returns. And we are in an industry where, personally, I think our cost to serve is still dramatically too high. And I say that having been in this industry for over 30 years, and the only constant I've ever known is cost needs to come out. And yet, where we find ourselves today, the cost of our industry is still dramatically too high. And I think our rate of digital adoption has been still too slow relative to many other sectors. And I think the pandemic has driven, if you like, an overnight move to home working and digital adoption. And I don't think there's any putting that genie back in the bottle, whether that's for our industry or many sectors. So I'd also come at it from a slightly different perspective, I suppose, picking up on some of the other things you've talked about, which is the jury is still out on what is the size of the insurable loss that COVID brings. I think if you take all of the reads that are out there now, I think there's no question it will be a significant loss. However, if you then factor in the frequency benefits of COVID-19, I think what we're looking at here in reality is a very, very sizable natural catastrophe type level of loss. And so on that basis, for me, it's still a revenue event, not a capital event. I think the real issue is that, as we discussed earlier, it comes on the heels of 3 or 4 years of quite significant losses. And it also comes just ahead of facing into the next hurricane season. And the cumulative impact of that is going to squeeze capital. And that's one of the reasons why we're starting to see the market harden as well. And so what does that all mean for Pro? like everyone else, we were tested in anger and we moved overnight to virtualized working. And I have to say it's here to stay in some shape or form in the way we run our business. Secondly, it will allow us, as it will many others, the opportunity to take a national approach to how we actually secure talent and capability for our business and therefore our clients. And we're already seeing the opportunity in the virtualized working setup, the ability to leverage our skills in our different territories, cross-territory, which we weren't doing before. And then I suppose the other obvious one, because we've touched on it several times, is we genuinely see the opportunity that the pandemic, if you like, discontinuity will afford us in terms of we provide claims runoff services in a market where there'll be more runoff books, whether that's Lloyd's of London or whether it's a stimulus for more IBT Part 7 style deals in the US. I think that is opportunity. So like all what I call sizable forces of change, they pose both threats and opportunities. As pro, we are by no means complacent, but we still feel optimistic in terms of how we're positioned for the future, is the way I put it.
You mentioned about technology. Pro's been a technology-focused company probably a very long time before the InsurTech moniker became a fashionable one. What's your approach to the adoption of technology in insurance?
Well, I suppose first and foremost, I think I have to say that Pro is a professional services company that embraces the use of technology for the delivery of superior outcomes for our clients. That's the way I'd frame Pro. We're not technology-led. I would say we are practitioner-led, by which we develop tech solutions. So it's not tech for tech's sake. We more develop technology through the eyes of our SMEs to solve our problems that deliver value for our clients, is the way that I would actually frame how we are structured and how we're embracing technology. And the aligned point to that is that we take pretty much a blended approach to how we build technology. And so some of that, without question, is proprietary built using industry available software. And in other cases, we actually partner in the building of that technology because we think others can bring a better capability to the table. And it's that back to that partnering concept. But I suppose the key aspect to your question is we are practitioner led, and our tech enablers are built through the eyes of our SMEs.
So perhaps you could say that you solve your own problems using technology rather than go and find technology and try and apply it to different things.
That is the right way of describing it. You know, we're not just building technology and going looking for the problem. That isn't the way we're operating. We're more looking and going, in terms of what we do today, how could technology help? And then what we are, and that's why I call it tailored solutions, because it's very much tailored for the need based on what our SMEs are seeing. And I think that's a much more valuable use of the way to enable business through technology.
There's always a lot of technological change happening. So what new technologies are you most excited about getting around to applying to the insurance world?
There's a lot of technology out there today. We're all getting our hands on different forms of technology all the time. But I suppose if there was one area of technological development that, I can use this term, excites me the most, it's probably the adoption of AI, augmented intelligence, whether you call it deep learning algorithms, all of that sort of space of augmented capability through the application of technology. And I just think it's that general breadth of application for it, particularly in our industry, whether that's from handling what I call routine and repetitive processes, right through the ability to access unstructured data, and we've got lots of that in our industry, through to the really exciting stuff that's in what I call analytical space, data and analytical understanding. So for me, that is the one area that I think is really exciting and has so many applications. We are actively using technology to, particularly AI, augmented intelligence-based technology, particularly in the area of what I call data cleansing. So the cleansing of complex data schedules for risk modeling purposes in the underwriting space. But we see that as a much larger opportunity as we look forward, because at the end of the day, data cleansing is the start of the chain. And the opportunity off the back of data cleansing to move towards data augmentation that enables superior underwriting selection, I think is one of the areas that we see as a real opportunity for Pro as we look to the future. And in that context, that is another one which is very much being practitioner-led, but where we've actually partnered with a specialist AI firm called AnaliCat. So a very sort of partnered style of approach. Conversely, the other area that we've been building technology is claims. And that is very much a proprietary-based build, still very much SME-led. And where we started the claims platform build was actually UKAPH. And we did so because we were looking for a solution whereby the issue with an APH claim, a meso-type claim, is that you can have a claim that spans multiple exposure periods that attaches to multiple insurers. And most claim systems are just not set up to handle that very easily. And so it's back to that solution built through the eyes of an SME, very tailored in the way it's been built to a scale application. But what we've since done is written that platform into other languages, and we've extended its reach across other lines of business. And that's another, if you like, core enabler from our sort of tech stack, for want of a better term. So hopefully that gives you a couple of areas where we've built technology. I suppose, where is our attention turning now as we look forward? And it's really what I call industrializing our capability in the area of data analytics. And that's that piece, again, as I started at the outset, the marriage of how do we blend the data we're capturing through something like claims and having the platform, and how do you actually blend that with AI to improve data analytical capability, to improve your understanding of loss trend that allows you to deliver better outcomes for your clients. So hopefully that gives you a bit of a sense as to the direction of travel. I think for me, that's broadly where we're heading. But as you'll appreciate, it's a fast-paced, ever-changing space.
In the last 20 years, how do you think attitudes to outsourcing have changed in the global insurance world?
I told you that it's got to be now 30 years ago, I was involved in building one of the very first Indian offshoring centres for, as it was then, Eagle Star. I'd have to say the world has come a long way since that point in time. And I think one of the critical forces of change in that intervening period is clearly technology. We've been talking about technology. The world has been moving through a digital revolution, best way to describe it. I think what's so key about that is the cost of change, the cost of transformation continues to reduce, still far higher than we all would like it. But as greater and more agile insure technology arrives, the cost of change is reducing. And that has been married with a transformative approach that's much more based around test and learn and agile delivery. And, you know, it's that type of approach that's informing transformation today rather than what I call this big and hugely expensive IT programs of old. Now, offshoring is clearly still part of that ingredient, and certainly outsourcing. What I'd say, though, is vanilla outsourcing, I think long term, is dead. And I say that because vanilla services that are offshored, whether it's India, China, etc., ultimately should be automated away. So I think long term, their shelf life should be limited. Having said all of that, there are many trends like that which don't happen overnight. And I think, therefore, will offshoring be part of the transformative kit bag for many years to come? I think the answer has to be yes, but I think we should have a view to the direction of travel. And so for me, what's important for clients is ultimately getting to what I call a blended transformative set of capabilities, which brings together technology, offshore and nearshore and onshore competencies that are delivered through transformative technology in a very agile test and learn manner. And in that regard, I'd say PRO's SME capabilities that are very much supported by practitioner-led tech enablement, we are certainly part of the solution. And it is certainly an area where we are seeing growth.
We're in an era of startups. There's a class of 2020, new insurance startups seem to be taking shape. One thing that has characterized more recent startups has been the adoption of ultra-lean operations. Do you think that ultra-lean operations are going to be the way that the startups in the class of 2020 really differentiate themselves from the incumbents?
I think you have to think about this really as there are two games in town. Game number one, you framed it in your question, are the new tech startups, and they will do what it says on the tin. That is an end-to-end adopter of latest available technology, whether it's in the cloud, wherever it might be, but focused on fundamentally one high-quality customer experience with minimal human interaction, minimizing potential for frictional cost of delivery. That's the model of the new tech startup. And if you want one, it's been in the press very, very recently, IPO'd Lemonade. That's your classic tech starter, focus on customer experience with minimal human interaction and touch, technology enabled. I think in a similar way, if we bring it back to Pro, MGA incubation model is about greenfield startup, looking to enable new underwriters of the future with the best of the available technology today. But there's your sort of one game in town. And as you alluded to, the other game in town are your big incumbents that are saddled with legacy technology aspiring to get to the digital world and an improved cost of serve. And look, it's feasible, but I can tell you from personal experience, it's a tough journey. But again, it's one where Pro can bring a range of solutions to the party. I think the interesting thing when you stand back from it, because you framed it from the perspective of a new startup, the real challenge for the new startup that achieves material scale, and I'll put Lemonade in this, is how do they continue to evolve so they don't become the legacy of the future? Because there are too many examples that litter our past, because technology is always moving. And an example I would give is Direct Line. When they first came to market with their model 30 years ago, whether it is, I think it was 89, I can't remember, they revolutionized the market. They were so cost effective because they basically wrote new direct policies out of a simple box. And they're now one of the largest insurers in the UK market and have as much challenge of legacy. And they're trying to aspire to the digital world. And so I think the interesting challenge for the likes of a Lemonade is, how do you stay new and shiny and don't become legacy? On that one, time will tell.
Steve, what sort of culture would you like to build at Pro?
For me, if I'm going to draw a thread through all of our conversation today, I've really got to finish where I started. So let me come at that question from this perspective, if you like. As I said at the outset, I think focus, in my view, is a key ingredient for success. And if we stand back and just reflect on our industry for a moment, we have to recognize we don't make anything. We make nothing, physically make nothing. And in that context, we therefore have to recognize that, for me, insurance is a skills-based industry. And what that really means is we're only as good as the people that we actually put on the pitch. And I said earlier, the only thing I've ever known in my entire career is cost needs to come out. And rightly so, we've been an industry that's been stripping cost over the years. But I do think that's also come at the expense of skills and capability. And I think we've seen a depletion of skill and capability in our industry. Having said that, I do think COVID-19 might be a game changer for us. Don't get me wrong, I'd never have wished the pandemic on the world, but I do think it's a game changer. I think it's a game changer for the industry because it may allow us access to a much broader range of skills and capability that no longer have to be bounded by jurisdiction or location. And that's a huge opportunity for the industry to rebuild some of that skill and capability. But if I sort of draw that back into Pro and into where you started the question, that's something that I sort of aspire for Pro and what I'd like to see Pro embrace. I want Pro to be a truly inclusive business, a business where people genuinely feel they can bring the best of themselves to work. And if we get that right, like the rest of the industry, we need to continue to access ever greater talent and capability. And in doing so, that will allow us to deepen our expertise, our subject matter expertise, and the value that we can offer our clients. That will allow our clients, as I've said, to focus on what they're good at. If we get that right, clients win, Pro wins, we all win.
Well, that's all we had time for. I really hope you enjoyed it. To find out more, go to pro-global.com.